I'm going to share today what has inspired me as a youth leader. For some reason, I've been the youth leader for the last 2 or 3 years. I don't know why. And I've never been able to express effectively, I think, what it is that inspires me. So please bow your heads with me while I ask for God's help. Father in heaven, I'm very excited to be up here today about what you've given me to share. But without you, I'm going to mess it up. So I pray that you'll use me, that you'll, through the power of Jesus, you'll cleanse me from all sin and forgive me. I pray that that your Holy Spirit will speak to each person here individually today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Smoking flags he will not quench, a bruised reed he will not break. That's from our scripture reading this morning. Can everyone see the candle? Didn't think so. Let's get this out of the way. Okay. You can't see. Well, you're sitting in the wrong place. Okay. You'll see more smoke later from this candle. What's a reed? A reed is, reeds are sometimes used for thatch. The closest thing I could come to was a broom. I'm a perfectionist, and when I get home, I'm not going to leave Aaron this broom with the straws sticking out like this. No, I'm going to be breaking them off, because I like my brooms to look nice. But God is not a perfectionist. If God were a perfectionist, we wouldn't be here. God has had many, many opportunities to start over, and he didn't take them. God decided that he would stick with us and give us a chance and try to rescue us. God has chosen all through history to use imperfect people. That means there's no excuses for any one of us to think that God can't use us or to say no to God. You know, that is have you ever been tempted to say no, I don't want to God, you can't use me that way because I'm not good enough? You know, I probably wouldn't have ever agreed to be the youth leader for Lakeland if there had been anyone I thought was better who was willing to take the job, because I'm a perfectionist. I would only want to be the best person to be doing this. But God's not a perfectionist. So here I am, not because of my plan, but because God called me to serve him in spite of my imperfections. God doesn't really expect us to be able to do any good. So if you've been if you looked at the youth program and you've seen and you've been not been what you were looking for, well, God didn't really expect me to do any better than that. That's not an excuse. How many of you know, have been to an old, neglected orange grove? No? Yeah, you gone to an old orange grove and seen those oranges and picked them off the trees and peeled them, sunk your teeth into them? What do they taste like? It's probably the most sour and bitter thing you can imagine, isn't it? So why are those planted there? Those bitter, sour oranges are not planted to bear fruit. Those are the stalks on which they graft the branches that do bear fruit. Because those branches that do bear fruit are weak and unproductive. So instead of throwing those branches away, the farmers say, well, no, I knew these branches were weak and unproductive. I didn't expect anything different. The solution is not to get rid of them, but to attach them to the strong, productive stock. And that's what God's solution is with us. Here's what God thinks of us. Let's look at John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. All right, verses 4 and 5, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So Jesus knows we can do nothing. He expects us not to be able to do anything, and his solution is not for us to stop, but for us to attach to him. How we attach to him? Well, he goes on to explain, "My words abide in you. You can ask what you will." So we attach to him by receiving his words and letting them live in our hearts. And through our prayers, we speak, we communicate with God, and we form that attachment. Now, side note here. This may be one of the reasons that sometimes prayers aren't answered, because we have this connection backwards. You see, God will use us to bear fruit, and he gives us strength. Well, sometimes I think maybe we look at prayer as a way to make God bear fruit. You know? God, I want to use you to do something that I want. Well, it goes the other way. God uses us to bear fruit for his glory. And when God uses us, there is power. When we try to use God, there's no power. So if you're having an empty, powerless spiritual experience, remember how the connection works. God uses me, there's power. I use God, there's no power. Jesus said, if you have faith even as a mustard seed, God can do great things for you. So right now, I'm going to invite some people who may not have thought that they had much of the connection with God, but who God has used, and I wanted them to tell some stories. First, I'd like to invite Eric, Petronella, and Zach. Eric and Petronella and Zach, I've been very proud of them because they spent this summer doing literature evangelism. And I'd like them to tell some of their experiences. Does that mic work, yeah. Eric? Okay, go ahead.
All right. God is good. And all the time. With that being said, it was a Thursday, right? And on Thursdays was our last full day of working, because Friday we didn't work full days. So normally on Thursdays, I would wear high gloss black shoes and we're walking. So, all right. So what happened was, we was in this apartment complex, and I was about three complexes in, and I got this lady comes to the door, and I was already like, it was after lunch and we was near pickup, and I was at the point where I'll just go through, I'll just do like the bare minimum to get by, because it's just about time. So this lady comes to the door and I explain everything, I show her the books, and I really wasn't in it, like really pushing it, but I tell her about the health books, and she just balls out and starts crying. And me, that's really not my, I don't know. It's very awkward when people start crying. And I'm at this lady's door, and she's like weeping. And I'm like, and that was like right after I explained, like in a bookstore, these books are like $80, but you can just get them for like 45. So, and she's like, she's crying, she's just going crazy. And I'm like, okay, well, you can just get one for 10 if that's cool. And she says something about she had been in the hospital and she was like, she's been praying, she doesn't know how she's gonna continue going, doing something with, I forget what the problem was, but she said this book, and I started explaining the foods that heal, and she was like, that would really help, but she's like flat broke. And I'm like, man, and I had already kind of got into an arrangement about giving people books that was like not the original price. So I said, okay, I'm sorry, but so I just left. I continued going through the complex, and like four people gave me like donations and just didn't want no books. So they just like handed me like $20 cash, like four times in a row. So after that, I get back to the van, and Uncle Les, he was there, and he says, you know, God uses us in strange ways, it's like just randomly. And I'm like, you know what? And I don't know, there was a feeling like up to the left and to the right of my heart, right around this area. And I was like, you know what? I got these donations, I should go give her some books, because I had it covered. So he said something exactly what I had said to the lady, like soon as I got in the van, and it was kind of like shockwave. So I go back, I go to the lady's door, and I'm knocking. She doesn't come to the door, so I'm like, crap. I go back to Les, I'm like, she's not answering. He says, well, write a note. And he told me to write something, and that was also something I had told the lady. So I was like, that's what's up. So I write on the note, and I leave it at her door, and we pull off. And as we're leaving, I see the lady come out the door, and it wasn't until after everything happened that I realized God had just used me, and I wasn't even giving it my all. So, for what Darren was saying, he uses people that's kind of at fault. That's the one story I could think of that kind of put me. So, there we go.
Zach, go ahead and tell us about your summer.
Okay. Well, this summer, I didn't want to go canvassing at all. It was the last thing I wanted to do. Because last summer, I went, and I liked it and all, but it was hot, and it was miserable. So this summer, I was basically doing everything I can to not go canvassing. I actually had a whole bunch of stuff I wanted to do, but then my mom was like, okay, Zach, you're going canvassing this summer. I was like, no, and so it was left at that. Until my brother went and Eric went, and then we got a call from Uncle Les McCoy, in charge of the coal party here in Florida. And he's like, well, Zach, we have an open spot here for you, and I'd like you to come. And if I was about to say no, my mom ran in and told me that I had to go, so I went. And me being an imperfect person, of course, like everybody, I didn't want to serve God, thinking it would be too hot, be too hard, be too difficult. And I did not do the best this summer, and I didn't have fun this summer doing what I was doing all the time. But until the end of the summer, I realized what we actually did. This summer in Florida, we reached 250,000 people. 250,000 people, we knocked on the door and talked to them about Jesus. There was 62 of us. We had like a bunch of groups in Miami, Port Charlie. We went to Tallahassee. And the gross of what we made was like $182,000 in like 8 weeks or 10 weeks. And it's showing how 62 students with nothing better to do that summer went ahead and reached 250,000 people for Jesus. Amen.
Well, my story is really short, but one thing that I learned over the summer is that to never give up. It's really, really hard to like give up on God when you're canvassing, because it's really, really hot out there, and you have to walk for like 9 hours. So one thing that I learned was not to give up at all. Like, one thing that helped me to not give up was praying with the people. And that's one thing that Uncle Les told us, not to like to pray with the people so they can encourage you to keep going. That's one thing that.
All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Before we get off the topic of literature evangelism, I asked our local literature evangelist to put a reminder in the bulletin that you can. We have literature evangelism going on full time here. This reminder isn't just to so that you can say, "Hey, that's nice." This reminder says, has three checkboxes. I would like to spend a day canvassing with a literature evangelist as a silent prayer partner. I would like to receive information on how God can use me as part-time or full-time literature evangelist. I'd like to receive, if you're a student, I'd like to receive information on the student scholarship plan that would be for next summer. Or there might even be something going on during the Christmas break. So, now that you know there's no excuses, think about letting God use you, and especially right here with Lynn, you could be a silent prayer partner. Lynn, will you come up? Do you have a story to tell?
When Darren asked me to give my testimony in 2 minutes, I said my life, because God seems to have determined to use failure in my life. As a student in school, I made excellent grades, and so I was not used to failure. As an adult, God seems to have chosen to use failure to demonstrate His sovereignty, His power, to demonstrate the fact that it's of God and not of me. I wrote some things. God has used me as an example to show His patience. God has used me to demonstrate His unconditional love that He continues to love regardless of failure. God has used me to demonstrate that His mercy never fails. God has used me to demonstrate His willingness to forgive again and again and again. God never gets tired of forgiving when we ask Him. God has used me to demonstrate the truth of His faithfulness and that it's God's word that stands. God actually used a mistake in a message that I was listening to point me to a verse that was His sermon for me in the midst of that sermon. The text that was accidentally spoken was Isaiah 46:10, and the verse just before it says, "For I am God, there is no other." This is God speaking. "For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, God's counsel shall stand. God will do all His pleasure." God has used me to share the message of salvation with a group of people who have never heard the message, and some of those people dedicated their lives to the cause of Jesus Christ. God has used me to be able to present the blessing of the Sabbath to a group of people who had never heard of the blessing of the Sabbath, and many of those people have chosen the Sabbath. God is using me as a literature evangelist to place the Bible storybooks in homes, and I love doing that because I know those families are now reading through the Bible and will come in contact with the truth of the Word of God.
All right. So, thank you, Lynn. Some of us, we know how God uses imperfect people now. Seeing the evidence, and I'm sure we have many more stories that could be told. I almost forgot. We have some stories from 2 weeks ago when we had the Mighty to Save event with Willie Ramos. Let's see here. Who do we have who can just share? Jasmine and Patrick, where are you? All right. Is this on? Hello? Are we on? Okay. Very good. Jasmine, go ahead.
Okay. When I first got the book, Forgiven, by Willie Ramos, I didn't think it was going to be any good. But as I started reading it, just all the things that he was saying, when he was speaking, he wasn't trying to hide anything from you. He would tell it just how it was and all the things in the past that he'd done. And then I really started looking forward to him coming, and I invited one of my friends, who she's not an Adventist, and she came and she really enjoyed it. She thought he was hilarious and she'd want to come again to the church, so I thought that was pretty good.
Thank you. Patrick, go ahead, take this mic. Let me introduce I should have given a little bit of background earlier. We, as I was saying during the welcome period, we joined with the two other youth ministry teams in Lakeland to put on this event with Willie Ramos. We got some beautiful posters made up. Willie Ramos said it was the most professional poster he'd seen for any of his meetings. And it was all because of the young people getting together to do it. And we put those posters out. We printed up about 500 flyers. And one Sabbath afternoon, I took Patrick and said, hey, let's go see if we can get some stores to let us put these posters up. So, Patrick, will you tell us what happened?
Yeah, well, I didn't really feel like going that day, you know, because I got these special shoes I wore for my sister's wedding, and they were kind of tight because, you know, keep growing. And I just, you know what, I'll just go. So I left with Darren. Probably you seen the look in my face. I didn't want to go. I thought we were just going to walk in the hot sun, and I'm all in black, you know. So Darren started giving out the posters first, and I was just watching him. You know, like, okay, I'm just going to walk with him. He's going to do all the work, you know. And I'm like, you know what? They kept rejecting him, you know. Some people rejected him, you know, no, we don't want these posters. And then Darren said, hey, Patrick, you want to give it a shot? I'm like, oh, crap, you know. I don't like rejection. So I'm like, you know what? I'll give it a try. So the first person, they took my posters. And they were going to, you know, put them on the wall. I'm like, yeah, you know, they're not rejecting me. You know, and then the second person, they took the poster. The third person say, no, is that Christian? Yeah, no, we don't want it. I felt bad, so I felt how Darren was feeling all the time, and I'm like, all right, let me try the next person. You know, I try the next person. Nah, we can't do it. You gotta talk to the manager. Oh, all right, whatever. You know, so we go down to the pawn shop. So there's a lot of people, and we're just waiting in the line, you know, our turn, so we can just give these posters. So, you know, I just say, Nalin, just go right in front. You know, I just go posters. I'm not buying anything. And they say no. And I got tired of the no's. You know, I'm like, you know what? All right. All these people in here, you know, I don't have to give the manager. I'm just going to start giving these flyers away, you know. A stranger, hey, hi, how you doing? Huh, there you go, hey. There's this one lady, I gave her the flyer, and she said, nah, I don't want it. And she had a son with her. So I said, okay, all right, I got this one. And I said, huh, how about you get this posted? And she said, no, that's my son. I'm like, I didn't ask you. I gave it to him, you know. He can make his own decision. And the guy was just looking at me. He's like, take it. It's okay. Take it. You know, and this big guy at the door, you know, I was scared of him. You know, I'm just like, okay, all right. He was about 6-something, you know, 6-foot-something. And on our way out, you know, I just say, hey, bro, hey, take this poster right here. Just look at me. All right. You know, so it's because I got tired of rejection. And sometimes that's what we do in life, you know. God is trying to talk to us all the time. And we don't realize it sometimes. You know, we're always rejecting him. So that taught me, you know, to always keep alert. You know, it could be your friend, it could be your brother, your mom, your sister. Someone could be trying to reach to you, and God reaches people through other people. And we should just try not to reject people. You know, I know what rejection feels like, especially if I'm with somebody, you know. I mean, if it happens to yourself and you're all alone, you'd be like, okay, it's cool, no one knows. But, you know, if we're somebody, oh, man, I know he's going to tell about me. You know, but, yeah, you know, we should stop rejecting. You know, we should just open our hearts to God and everybody else. We're all brothers and sisters, right? All right. Amen.
Okay. Before you guys leave, I want to not forget to... Okay, go ahead. Thank you. Thanks, Patrick and Jasmine. Okay, I got a rejection story from the same... that happened a few days later. We had about 230 flyers left. And I asked some other people if they wanted to help give them out. Nobody did, so I thought, I can't let these just sit here. I mean, because I knew God wants us to reach all of Lakeland. I mean, God gives us each a little part of the world to get the work of the gospel finished. So I got this, I had these 230 flyers. But you know what I was actually thinking? I wasn't thinking, I wish I had enough for all of Lakeland. I was thinking, I'm glad we didn't print any more. So I took the flyers and I went to an apartment complex that was really close to the church, and I parked my car and I got out and I saw there was a guy outside and I gave it to him and he said, I don't think you can do this without getting permission from the office. I said, is the office open? He says, no. So I just kept going, putting the posters on doors. By the time I got to door number 6, he had called the apartment manager, and she came out and kicked me out. So I thought, well, I guess my mistake was talking to people. So I started going on not talking to people, thinking, I just want to get all my flyers out. I was even putting them on doors where I knew nobody lived. But and then I stopped. I thought, okay, sorry, God. This was... My idea is that I need to get all these flyers out, but you can use me for whatever you want tonight. And I had a good time. I got to actually talk to some people, meet some people. I don't think any of the people that I actually talked to that night came, but the next night when the meeting started, a couple people came in and sat down beside me. At the end of the meeting, they said, we got to tell you how we found out about this meeting. This morning, we found a flyer in our parking lot. And we also heard that some people got kicked out of our apartment complex last night for handing these out. So God used a rejection to get some people to hear the message. So you may see, some of you may look at me, some of you may, but I guess a lot of you like me since you've let me continue to be the youth leader. So, some of you may look at other people and think of a lot of reasons that person shouldn't be doing what they're doing. You know, someone may be singing and they're not doing a good job. You know, I can't. And you may think to yourself, that person shouldn't be singing. You may see somebody trying to lead out in a Bible study who's not very reliable. And you think, that person shouldn't be leading out. No. Because even though God uses imperfect people, I have a suspicion a lot of you, like me, are perfectionists. And you're going to be tempted to treat people like the bruised reeds, and you want to get them where they don't mess things up. And there might be people that have already become discouraged in ministry because of things you said to them. Or even worse, things that you said to somebody else that got back to them secondhand. You know, God wants us to keep our mouths shut sometimes. That doesn't mean we don't have to talk to people who have faults. He actually says we have a responsibility to do that. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. We're not going to bother reading it because I need to keep this moving. But it says, if your brother has sinned, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. That means keep your mouth shut to everybody else. So if he won't listen to you, then that's when it becomes fair game for casual conversation, right? No. Jesus says, if he won't listen to you, take with you one or two more, and then and you go back and talk to him. So do you have to tell them, those one or two people, all about it, so that make sure they're on your side before you go? No, you keep your mouth shut. You just tell, you just need, might need some help talking to this person. You take, and that's all you need to tell that, tell the others. So if you've taken some people to and to help you talk to this person and you still weren't able to get him to listen to you, is it then fair game for casual conversation and telling everybody and getting everybody on your side? Actually not. There's a third step. So Jesus said, take it to the church. You know, deal with it openly in front of everyone, but still with that person. The purpose is to help that person, and there's no need to be talking about the issue behind that person's back. So then, Jesus says, you've talked to the church, that person still won't listen. Now, finally, you can get it off your chest. You can call up your relatives in on the other side of the country. Tell your non-Adventist friends you know what the problem is you're having to deal with. What is that? What Jesus says? No, Jesus says then it's over. You just move on. That just consider that person as if he were an unbeliever, a heathen or a publican. So isn't that frustrating? You can never get the chance to vent. Well, no, Jesus just says move on. So we need to follow Jesus' advice. If whenever we don't do that, we are violating a direct command of Jesus. We can't call ourselves Christians if we're doing that, can we? Another thing, we may be tempted to just let it go because Jesus' command seems so burdensome. Maybe I'm not responsible to do anything. Maybe I can keep my mouth shut to everybody, including the person who's at fault. Well, that's not an option either, because the Bible says we are one body. If one member has a problem, everyone is suffering. That means, and that those parts that are weaker, those are the ones that all the other parts of the body put special effort into helping. Those parts of the body that have more needs get more help from the parts that have fewer needs. The Bible is telling us that when we see a fault in somebody, God is calling us to help that person out, not to stop that person from their ministry or whatever God is using them for. He's calling us to help. So get on it before these calls from God start accumulating and you get swamped. Because I'm sure a lot of you are able to see a lot of faults in other people. And if you don't get started on it quickly, you're just going to get so behind you'll never catch up on this work that God has for you. So that brings us to another reason God wants to use us. See, God uses us to rescue other people, imperfect people, because he wants to rescue us. Just as there are other parts of the body that need us, we may not feel like it, but we need others too. The Bible says that if two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. This is from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If two walk together and one falls, his brother will lift him up. I really hope so. Woe to him who is alone when he falls, because he has nobody to lift him up. You know, it's talking about our Christian journey. You know, it's a lot of people will start the Christian journey, but because they're walking alone, when they fall, nobody's going to pick them up. They may never finish that Christian journey. You know, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 says we have a reward if we finish what we've begun. A lot of us, people are not going to make it unless we choose to help them, and a lot of us are not going to make it unless we choose to help other people, because we're going to need that relationship and that help from other people too. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says this is so important that we actually need to exhort one another daily. Beware lest there arise in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. That's the purpose of the prayer bands that we have started with the young people. I don't think that's just talking to young people, do you? So, prayer groups, prayer partners, you know, we all need this. If you're not in one, this Christian journey that you started, you may never see the end of. Look out for people that have stumbled already. We need to find them and lift them up and help them to continue the journey. It may seem burdensome, may seem embarrassing, humiliating, heart-tiring, whatever. But one day we're going to be the ones who need someone to be lifting us up. And perfection is coming. Even though God is not a perfectionist, he lets the candle smoke. He takes good care of the bruised reeds. Perfection is coming. This whole imperfect world that we're in is just an interruption in God's perfect plan. It's been a terrible interruption. It was really hard. You know, it was not... When God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there's one tree that you may not eat from, he said, in the day you do eat from that tree, you will die. That was fair warning. That was the plan. That was all that there needed to be said. But they rebelled, and they ate from that tree. And I can imagine, you know, the Son of God, our intercessor, saying to his Father, we need to interrupt our perfect plan so that I can rescue these people. And the Father saying, I want nothing more than to rescue these people, but if we interrupt our perfect plan, the misery and the suffering that will result cannot be described. So, you know, I can't agree to that. I cannot give my permission for this to happen. And there was only one person in the whole universe who could initiate a plan, an interruption in God's perfect plan, without the Father's permission. And that was God the Son himself. Because this had to be without the Father's permission, on the cross, Jesus experienced the full fury of his Father. His Father's heart was broken because he had to hide his love from his Son. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? This interruption will go on until the rescue operation is complete. Part of that rescue operation involves using you, using me. And then, when it is complete, God's perfect plan will resume. There will be no more suffering. No more pain, no more sadness. So what excuses are there now? You know, some just bad ones. I think about the story of the wedding supper, where he said a king had made a wedding supper for his son, and he called for it for the guests, and they all with one accord began to make excuses. You know, their excuses were just that they would rather be doing other things. Would you rather, and that may be problem. Maybe it's not that you don't feel like you're good enough to be used by God. Maybe the problem is that you'd rather be doing something else than attaching yourself to Jesus so that he can use you. This world is not as good as you think it is. Everything that you're doing besides letting God use you has to end. It does, whether you choose it or not. If you choose it, you will be part of God's perfect kingdom. If you don't choose it, there will be no place for you in God's new world.